Erev Tov and Gemar Chatima Tova to all of you and to all of Klal Yisrael. I had all sorts of doubts what to talk about this evening. One of the formats for this speech that I used for the last 2 years, about a week ago I had definitely decided I'm not going to do that again. For the last 2 years, I had spoken about the Ushpizin, and one shir is called Ushpizin 1, and the other is Ushpizin 2. And I had decided that I certainly was not going to talk about it. That's it. We've really used the topic up completely. And then the first night of Sukkot, I'm sitting in my son's Sukkot in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and there I take a look at the pictures that he has on the wall of his Sukkot. Of all things, I happen to give it to my children. And I even think that they're on sale over here. You may notice that there's an advertisement for 7 full-color posters designed by Ellen Horowitz, The Shepherds of Israel, the Ushpizin. And I'm sitting innocently the first night of Sukkot looking at these pictures of the Ushpizin, and I was simply overwhelmed. And all of my good intentions not to speak about the Ushpizin went out the window, and that's exactly what we're back at. Those posters that she has designed are so absolutely beautiful. The colors, the pictures, and the psukim that she chooses. So here it was, the first night of Sukkot. By the way, I have convinced myself over the last few years, and I think it's true, and I've tried to convince everybody else, that the idea of the Ushpizin is not simply that we say we invite Avraham, yes, and that's it, and forget about it. You invite Avraham Avinu into the Sukkah. Avraham Avinu is coming into the Sukkah, and there's a message that he has to impart. There's something he has to say. And all that you have to do is open up your ears, your hearts, and your mind, and you may very well be able to hear what it is that Avraham Avinu has to say. The pasuk that Ellen chooses to describe Avraham Avinu is the pasuk, Atahu. Atahu Hashem Elokim, you are God, Hashem Bachar Topa Avram, chose Avram. We say it every morning in Davening. Hashem Bachar Topa Avram, say so, Mir Kazdim. You took him out of Ur Kazdim, Visamto Shemo Avraham. You called his name Avram, Umatsata et Levavon Ne'eman Lefanecha, and you found his heart to believe in you. He believes in you. You may not be aware of it, but of course, Avraham Avinu, after 4,000 years, finally made it. He's on the cover of Time magazine this week. I mean, this is a distinction unparalleled in the 4,000-year career of Avraham Avinu. To talk about Abraham today is, in Hebrew they would say, ze'in. It's in. And there are those who are now, there are all sorts of Abrahamic societies that are being developed throughout the world. That ultimately Avraham Avinu is the one who is going to bring peace between all of the various religions. By the way, there may be some truth to that, but it's not the Avraham Avinu that they are talking about. You may choose to read the article in Time magazine. I didn't find anything really that great about it. I was, of course, a bit upset that at least make him man of the year. Understand? No. Just a pashita Time magazine cover. I mean, this is all that Avraham. And I think the page after Avraham, there's a big picture of Saddam Hussein. The company is nicht so good. Atahu Hashem Elokim, you are God, Asher Bachat of Yavram, you chose Avram. And you know who's saying this? Those psukim before Oz Yashir come from Sefer Nehemiah. Ezra and those who've returned to build the second commonwealth are making this statement. You're the one who chose Avram. You took him out of your Kazdim Besanto Shemo Avraham, and you changed his name to Avraham. Umatzata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha, you found his heart to be faithful to you. Now here I want to make a very important point. Nearly in every one of our sidurim, there is a new paragraph that begins with v'charot imo habrit, and you made with him a covenant. Now what's unknown to many people is v'charot imo habrit is part of the same pasuk. There should not be an interruption between umatzata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha and v'charot imo habrit. They have to be said together. It's all part of one pasuk. You don't stop a pasuk in the middle. V'charot imo habrit. It may very well be that because of this, v'charot imo habrit, Ezra and Nehemiah are saying this to Jews who have returned from the Babylonian exile. You made with him a covenant, latet et eretz haknani hachiti ha'amori haprizi va'yevusi va'girgashi, to give that land lizaro va'tokem et vorecha. You promised and you kept your promise. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that there may have been those within the community living in Eretz Yisrael at the time who may have claimed to Ezra and Nehemiah, we don't have a right, there's an indigenous population over here. And Ezra is making it very clear to Klal Yisrael, we are here by virtue of Avraham Avinu, and that was the covenant that was made with him. I wondered why indeed, if the Charot Imo Habrit should be said together with Umatzata et Levavo Ne'eman Lefanecha, why is it written or printed in most Sidurim as a separate paragraph? I think it may very well be because there is a custom that when there's a bris in shul in the morning, so the mo'el or whoever is davening for the Amid says the words V'charot Imo Habrit, and everybody says it together with him. So it may be because of that reason, to point out and single out the Charot Imo Habrit. That's why it's a separate paragraph, but the fact is it has to be read together. You can't simply stop over there and wait for the Shliach Tzibur to get there and then say the Charot Imo Habrit. It's all part of one pasuk. All right, so one of the things that Avraham Avinu reminds us when he comes walking into our sukkah, make no mistake, there is a covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with me. And that covenant that he made with me makes it very clear that this land belongs to my children. In the Time magazine article, of course, there are three religions that now claim to be the children of Abraham. And it suddenly struck me just this afternoon, maybe that may be another pshat, why when the Rebbeinu Shem says to Avram, Kachna et bincha et yechidcha, take your one and only son Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice. You have one and only son who is your son. Et bincha et yechidcha et Yitzchak. He's the one who counts. None of the rest. But there's something else that Avraham Avinu is telling us. And it came to pass after these things, Elokim nisa et Avraham, and God tested Abraham, and he told him, take your one and only son Yitzhak and bring him as a sacrifice. So all of the Mepharshim throughout history have always been concerned about the word nisa that we usually translate as tested. Now how can you translate it as tested? Does the Rebbein Shlom not know how Avraham Avinu is going to fare on this test? He knows in advance. He knows that Avraham Avinu is going to come through with flying colors. what's the purpose of the test? There are three pshatim. The Rambam says that the test is not for the one who's administering the test. It's not so that the Rabbi Yishun should know the extent of Avraham's faith. The purpose is that the whole world should know why God chose Avraham. Ato hu Hashem Elokim Elin has that pasuk that we say in Davening, Asher bachartu b'Avraham, you chose Avraham. Is it unfair that God chose? How odd of God to choose Avraham? Or does the Rabbi Yishun want to let the world know, oh, there's very good reason why I chose Avraham? And therefore, Nisa, according to the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, means Avram is raised as a banner that a whole world should see. Lahudia la'olam, kamo gadol kocho shel Avram, to show the whole world how great is Avram. Yedu b'nei ha'adam gvul yirat Hashem mahu, let people know what true fear of God means. So according to the Rambam, purpose is that the world should know. The Rambam says, V'elokim nisa'et Avraham. Of course the purpose of the test is not for God. God knows exactly how Avraham is going to fare on that test. Does Avraham know what he is capable of? Elokim nisa'et Avraham. God is testing Avraham so that in the end Avraham will know the extent of his own ability to accept the word of God. We never know what kind of strengths we have until we are tested. I once saw somebody who said on the first command of God to Avram, Lech Lecha, Me'aretzecha, Mimoladetcha, Mibeit Avicha, leave your home, your father's land, your birthplace, and go to the land Asher Ar-Echa that I will show you. Should have said Asher Ar-Eh Otcha, that I will show you. What's the meaning of the word Ar-Echa? I saw somebody once who said, go to the land where I'll show you Asher Ar-Echa. I'll show you what you are. I'll show you what you are capable of. I'm going to show you the inner strength that you possess. We've all gone through difficult times in life. And sometimes we emerge from it with a sense, I don't know how I did it, but I made it through. There are reservoirs of strength that come from deep within the neshama that we never knew we possessed. And they stand us in good stead. The Rebbe Yishun wants Avraham to know who Avraham really is. God knows. But Avram has to know what he's capable of. So the Ramban says, Elokim nisot Avram. He raised Avram so that Avram should be able to see what he is. Rav Yosef Alpo, the Baal Sefer Ikrim, says a third pshat, in her Elokim nisa et Avram. Nisa comes from the word nisayon. Nisayon. Nisayon means experience. You go over something a number of times, or time and time again, you begin to become a Baal Nisayon. You now are experienced. You are Minuseh. There are things that we have to do over and over again until we finally get it straight. Avraham Avinu undergoes all sorts of exercises, targilim, imunim, maneuvers, so that he becomes the Baal Nisayon. He can now do things, do all sorts of things. I have a feeling that Avraham Avinu is telling us in the Sukkah, Chabesai Klal Yisrael, the world out there, the Rambam's pshat, that the world should know, the world really knows what you are. The world envies you, but they don't want to say it. They express their envy through hatred. But don't worry. Someday, someday the day is going to come where they are going to recognize quite clearly the strength of Klal Yisrael, and they're going to say it. The Ramban's pshat. Avraham has to see what he's capable of. I just heard it for the 100th time on the radio now as I was coming here. The enemies of Israel were convinced that terrorism would break the resolve and the will of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. They thought we would crack under the pressure. And you know what they learned? Or did they learn, and something that we learned? What we are capable of standing up against and to maintain our sanity. We're a healthy people. They just quoted some Abu something or other who said we were sure half a year ago they would have cracked, it would all be over. We could walk right in. They would make every conceivable concession. And there weren't many in our midst who were telling us there is no motivation in the army. We're weak. We're yellow-bellied, lily-livered, or I don't know, whatever it is. We're pachtanim, we're afraid. Then comes Milchemet Chomat Magen, and 120% come out to join their units to fight. Why did we show not only the world, but we showed ourselves something we weren't aware that we are capable of, and there were people in our midst who were trying to tell us, you're not capable of it. And we showed ourselves and those others in our midst and a world that we've been around for a long time. We're not going to fall apart because of 2 years of terrible terrorism. The third pshat in Elokim Yisad Avraham is Rabbi Yosef Halbal. Rabbi Yosef Halbal says that Avraham has to undergo all of these tests. He has to undergo all these tests, you know, so that he becomes used to it, like he knows how to do it. He gets becomes a Baal Nisayon. Here, I would say to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, listen, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're the biggest Baal Nisayon in the world, as far as suffering is concerned. From Avraham Avinu on for 4,000 years, we've been the great suffering servants on the face of this earth. I would say maybe it's enough with Nisyonos. It's a time for a bunch of great Nisim Gedolim Ugurim. That's what we need. When Avraham tells us about the Nisoyin Va'akeda, and he tells us the three Pshatim in V'Elokim, Nisayat Avraham, then he says, okay, Hevda, this is my message for this year. The Tavshin Samar Gimel, you have the strength, a world knows that you have the strength, and you're a healthy people. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. The next night, Yitzchak Avinu comes into the sukkah. By the way, Yitzchak Avinu is the one who's been our constant companion during the course of the last 2 years. Now, we don't know how much longer, but listen, I'm learning pshat in Ellen Horowitz. She has a beautiful picture, and the pasuk that she uses is Vayetze Yitzchak Nosuach Basodeh Lifnot Erev. Yitzchak went out to pray toward evening time. He prayed the tefillah of Mincha. Mincha represents the prayer where we stop, so to speak, in the middle of our work day, and we stand up before the Rabbeinu Shalom. It may be all sorts of simple things, Rabbeinu Shalom. Let it just be a quiet day. Rabbeinu Shalom, we need a few quiet days. And maybe if we have a few quiet days, you'll get used to another few quiet days. There are simple yet profound things that we have to pray for. Without the Yitzchak Losuach Basada, the davening, the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael, the tehillah of Klal Yisrael, this is what has taken us through to the course of the last 2 years, and we're going to have to intensify that effort in the days and the months ahead, because we have no idea, we can't fully grasp yet what cataclysmic changes may be taking place in this part of the world. There's no way to know. Then comes Yaakov Avinu. Oh, Yaakov Avinu has a great deal to say. Oy, does Yaakov, he needs, have to sit in the sukkah quite a while Yaakov is there. He has a great deal to say. Just three words, she takes part of a pasuk. Vayivater Yaakov levado. Yaakov remained alone. Yaakov had taken, during the course of the night, he had taken his family across the river Yabok. He went back along to the other side because he had left some little jars there. And then a man begins to wrestle with him during the course of the night. And the wrestling continues on for hours until, I can't help the pun, as it comes toward morning, it finally dawns on Yaakov Avinu. And the Gemara describes it as the following. What's troubling Yaakov Avinu? The man wants to steal my little jars. What happens with a ganef who wants to steal little jars? And he doesn't succeed. He leaves and goes to steal somebody else's little jars. For hours he's struggling with Yaakov, you know, over what? The little jars? And there toward morning, the Gemara puts into the mouth of Yaakov Avinu an exclamation. V'chiganev ato, o kub yustus ato. Are you a thief? Or are you a killer? All of a sudden, it occurs to Yaakov Avinu, he's not interested in the jars. He wants me. He wants my life. He may talk about another piece of land, and he may talk about Har HaBayit, and he may talk about half of Yerushalayim, but that's not what he has in mind. What he has in mind is the total destruction of Yaakov and his whole family. That's what he has in mind. And when that finally strikes Yaakov Avinu, then he knows the extent and the strength and the power and the fortitude of the enemy who confronts him. As long as one still thinks that the struggle is over pach and ketanim, little jars, if that's what you think the struggle is all about, you're off the wall. You're off the wall. You don't have a clue what's going on over here. Anybody who still thinks will find this one and that one, we're going to talk and we're going to negotiate and we're all going to live happily ever after, doesn't have a clue what's happening here. We are up not against ganavim, we're up against kuvyustuses. That's who we're up against. Killers. Killers. And I'll tell you this, when the thought finally occurs to Avram, to Yaakov Avinu, it's a frightening and a terrifying thought. And what Yaakov Avinu is saying in those psukim is that struggle is going to continue until the end of history. The end of history. There are problems for which there is no solution. And anybody who attempts to impose a solution on something that has no solution is only making a tragic, tragic mistake. But there's something else about that. Vayivaser Yaakov levado. Yaakov remains alone. And it struck me, there was an article, you may have seen it in the Jerusalem Post. I was so upset. It seems that the Israel Philharmonic well, is going to give or gave or wants to give a concert in memory of the firemen and the police who died at the World Trade Center. So there's a man by the name of Dov Shefi, whose son, Chagai Shefi, an Israeli who was living in New Jersey, he was up at the top of the World Trade Center, and he was killed. He was killed on September 11th. So the father got in touch with the Israel Philharmonic, and he said, you know, why don't you commemorate as well the four Israelis? There are four Israelis who died. I read the response. I didn't know what to do with myself. The response of the chief executive of the Israel Philharmonic was, what do you mean? In this incident, there were Indians and Chinese killed as well. Are you expecting me to mention the victims of all nationalities? How do you like that? We're all the same. Everybody's the same. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that India's Philharmonic most probably commemorated the memories of the Indians and the Chinese commemorated the Chinese, but our humanistic, universal, great-hearted people, what? The policemen and the firemen, yeah, but four Israelis not? It may be this sort of feeling that if we're going to commemorate four Israelis too, then we're being provincial, you know, and maybe we're letting them know that, you know, we're Israeli. That's not good. We got to be big about this. So he goes on to say, I know there were people of roughly 60 different nationalities killed in these events, but I fail to see why the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra could not even mention the names of the Israeli victims. Yeah. Finally, he told me that he would bring my request to the IPO management. Amnon Rubinstein got involved. Gornish Geholfen. They will not commemorate four Israelis. Doesn't he realize that Vayivoter Yaakov Levado, Yaakov remains alone? We're all one mishpucha. And the fact is, not only did the Philharmonic make a tragic mistake, the father of Chagai Shefi also made a mistake. Not for Israelis, all the Jews. The Israel Philharmonic can commemorate all the Jews. The guy doesn't differentiate between an Israeli and a Jew. They think they've created over here a state of Israel. It's a Jewish state. And in a Jewish state, we carry responsibility for Jews throughout the world. And any Jew who died in the World Trade Center was a carbon of those who are fighting Klal Yisrael throughout the world. But they don't have it straight. They haven't yet learned by Yivater Yaakov Levado that Yaakov remains alone against the whole world. They just haven't learned it yet. They think that there can be ways in which we'll bend over backwards and they're going to like us. I'll tell you something else that Yaakov Avinu is going to tell us. You know what Yaakov Avinu is going to tell us? I don't know why I had never found this, but I found it just a few weeks ago. One page in a shir of Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik L'Bracha. Unbelievable. Just beautiful, powerful. He says the following. When Mordechai says to Esther, Al tadami b'nafsheich lihimaleit beit hamelech mikol ha-Yehudim, don't think
that you are going to be rescued from amongst all the Jews. You're a Jew like them all. Don't think that you're going to be rescued. If you're going to remain silent at this time, there will be another source. The Revelation will find a way in which to save the Jewish people. And you and your father's house will be lost. So the Rav says the following. Every person has a mission. Every person carries responsibility in life. Mordechai is telling Esther, you've been chosen to be in this place at this time for only one reason, to do everything in your power to save Klal Yisrael. And if you don't do it, then you will simply have neglected and you will have failed miserably in the tafkid, the shlichut, that was placed upon you. So the Rav says the following. We too have to know, and we have to understand our task, our collective task. He talks about a collective task that rests upon the shoulders of each and every Jew. Shlichutenu, I'm going to read a few sentences and translate. Our mission is Lahagain al habitachon hafizi shel kol echad v'echad b'Yisrael b'chol makom shehu. To protect the physical safety of any and every Jew wherever he may be. He says that's a very difficult task in our days. It may even be more difficult than it was in previous generations. In previous generations, he says, they put Jews in ghettos and sort of have the feeling that we have our hands on them. But here I want to read a sentence. I don't know when the Rav wrote this, when this shiur was said. It must probably 30 or 40 years ago. And he says the following. He says, Gam ayom yesh lesoneim shi Yisrael. Today, the enemies of Israel, out in the exile, ube medinatenu en in medinat Yisrael. Ra'ayonot miturafim shel ma'asei teror u'milchama. They have mad ideas of terror and war. 30, 40 years ago he said it. And therefore, he says, Asur shenasir da'atenu memenu v'lu l'regakat. We cannot let this out of our minds for even a moment. We can't fool ourselves for a moment or live with the illusion, this is going to be good. That will be good. Aleinu lahakshiv l'chol kol obat kol shalom tishemiyut. We have to listen to every voice, every sound of anti-Semitism. L'chol iyum, every threat. Afilu hu musvevet tzafun, even if it's concealed. We have to listen, we have to hear, and we have to take it seriously. Number two, the Rav says, this collective responsibility that we have, you should know it's going to be fulfilled. The Revach Vatzola is going to come. And if somebody doesn't do his job, let him not think that the job is not going to be done. It will be done. And you won't have a share in it. Number three, he says, a person who has this responsibility, and we all carry the collective responsibility to protect every Jew wherever he may be. If he does not carry out his responsibility, he's a sinner, he is a traitor, and he is not fulfilling the tafkid that he has in life. Rav could have written it, said it today. Yaakov Avinu, he's there alone, the nocturnal struggle with powers, awesome and frightening, and Yaakov Avinu knows
There are no differentiations between Jews and Israelis. We are all part of Klal Yisrael, and we're all alone, and there's a hostile world out there, and we have a responsibility to take every threat, even if it be concealed. We have to take it seriously. And we know of enough times in our history that would we have listened carefully and we would have taken seriously threats to Klal Yisrael, oh, would it be, would Jewish history and world history be a great deal different? I remember I was in Eretz Yisrael already when they blew up the nuclear reactor in Baghdad, outside Baghdad. The world came down upon us. The world came down upon us. I still have in one of my svarim, and I'll get to it one of these days, in one of my svarim that I haven't opened up probably in 21 years, because I haven't come back to it, the editorial in the New York Times that morning. Our violation, Israel violated the territorial sovereignty of Iraq. They should all have to eat that editorial without ketchup. They should have to eat it. America has become the biggest violator of sovereign territory in the world. And of course there's somebody who's still in power today in this country who opposed it, and he let them know that he opposed it. Alright, let me start. We're talking about Yaakov. Yaakov, Ayifase, Yaakov Levado, Yaakov remains alone. He knows what it means to be alone, and he understands that the strength of Klal Yisrael is by standing together. Yosef. Let's see, what does she have for Yosef? Vayachalom Yosef chalom. And Yosef dreamt. Yosef dreamt a dream. Yosef comes into the sukkah, and Yosef's main message to us is, Chevra, never give up on the dream. And even if somebody is going to tell you that it's all over, don't believe it. What I considered personally one of the uglier manifestations of one of our governments, I can't forget it. When they come out, the old days when I used to watch TV, after Yom Kippur now, I won't turn it on. Okay. So this is it. It's the cabinet has just decided on Oslo 2. Five people come walking out of the cabinet meeting. And you know what happens when they come out of the cabinet meeting? There's a microphone right by their mouths. And that already they can't control themselves. We'll talk about that in a moment. When there's a microphone in front of your mouth, then your responsibility is to talk. Most of the time, narishkeit, but you gotta talk. A microphone needs to be fed. No less than five people came out of that cabinet meeting and nearly used precisely the same words. Somebody in the cabinet meeting must have used that term, and they all got nidlocked on it. How do you say that? No way to say that in English. They like that. Chusla chalom Eretz Yisrael hashlema. The dream of greater Eretz Yisrael, over. If they would have come out and said, we have just now decided to make painful concessions for peace, both of Hashtanim. I would disagree, but I would understand. But that was on their heads. What was on their heads is, Chus la chalom Eretz Yisrael, it's all over. You mitnachalim don't own a pair of socks. You walk around with your sandalim over there and your dew bones, not during the summer. You know, you think you're going to run this country. It's all over. It's all over.
It's about 7, 8, 9 years later, and Chalom Eretz Yisrael HaShlema is not chusla. It's not chusla at all. I think that they were even a bit embarrassed about the fact, and I'll tell you, I personally was surprised that so many people went to Hebron the day after a pigua. It's unbelievable. The koach of this people is unbelievable. Unbelievable, I hate. Unbelievable. The guys who are telling us all the time that we're falling apart at the seams. Yosef is the dreamer. And Yosef continues to dream. He never gives up dreaming. And even there, as he's on his deathbed, end of Sefer Bereishis, he says, Pakod Yifkod Hashem Elokim Etchem, God is going to remember you. V'ha'alitem et atzmotai mise itchem, and take my bones up with you from here. He left that message to his children, regardless of what happens. Don't ever give up on the dream. And what's interesting is, here is a man, well, both are true. He made Mitzrayim, and in a sense, Mitzrayim made him. In his final words, he can't even utter the word Mitzrayim. V'ha'alitem et atzmotai, take my bones, mizveh, out of it, this, get me out of here. I always say, one of my finest yurim, there are a few good ones, you know, 20, 30 years you usually come up with a few. After Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, so he says, Ma'aru fa'alu alavi, hurry and go up to my father. So Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael gavoa mikol haratzot, Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. Why? Because he said, Va'alu alavi, go up to my father. So the question that troubled me was really my wife who asked me the question. My wife asked me, what are you talking about? The term Yerida and Aliyah is used from Parshas Lech Lecha until Parshas Vayigash, where this pasuk appears, the word up and down to describe the journey to and from Eretz Israel is used dozens of times. Why does Rashi not tell us the first time around? Vayeded Avram Mitzrayim, Avram went down to Mitzrayim. Rashi should have said, Eretz Israel Kavar Mikol HaRatzos, therefore traveling from Eretz Israel to Mitzrayim is Yerida. Rashi all of a sudden wakes up after 20, 30 psukim have passed. And even in Parshat Vayigash itself, Yehuda is saying, we went up to our father, we came back down from our father. How will we go up to our father without the boy with us? Up, down, down, up. And Rashi doesn't bother to tell us that the reason why this term is used is because Eretz Yisrael is higher than all lands. So he always said, Rashi was brilliant. Doesn't need me to say it, but when you find the brilliance in Rashi, Rashi knew he's going to tell us one of these days why traveling to and from Eretz Yisrael is Yerida or Aliyah, but he waited for the moment at which the man who reached the pinnacle of success in Chutz La'aretz, he's the one Jew in the world living in Chutz La'aretz, and he's not a taxi driver in Cairo. The one Jew in the world who's become the greatest success of all. And when he speaks to his brothers, he says, Maharu. You know what he should have said? Maharu Elovi, hurry to my father. No, no, no. That can't come out of his mouth. Maharu Fa'alu Elovi. Yosef, the great success. The success story of all time. The Israeli who made it big in Chutz La'aretz. Maharu Fa'alu Elovi. You never give up on the dream. In prison, he dreamt of Eretz Yisrael. A whole life, he dreamt of Eretz Yisrael. And he passed that dream on to his children. When he came into the Sukkah this year, he said, keep dreaming and don't let anybody talk you out of it. Oh yeah, I have Moshe, Aaron, and David. Moshe, Aaron, we're gonna have to do it. We're just going to have to do it. Moshe. Moshe Hayoroa as son. Moshe was living this pastoral life out there in Midian. His Jews are suffering in Mitzrayim. Jewish children are being thrown into the Nile. Jews are being beaten, tortured, killed. And he's out living the pastoral life. He's taking care of his shepherds. He must probably sit down by a little stream and plays his halil. And then God appears to him and tells him, go to Egypt and tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. And he refuses. And he refuses for 7 long days. In the middle of those 7 days, at the snow, why doesn't God say, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't want to do it? I'll find somebody else. What do you want? Find somebody else. You know why Moshe refuses? And this is also the subject of another shiur. Do you know why Moshe Rabbeinu refuses? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the one Jew in the whole world who's not suffering together with his brothers. All of Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim. They're all suffering. There's one Jew who isn't suffering, but is leading the pastoral life. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? You take any Jew in Mitzrayim, and he's more worthy to be the savior of the Jewish people than I. Number on his arm, and ask him for a bracha. Those are the Heiligi Yidin that he give brachas. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, me you want? Take any Jew in Mitzrayim, much more worthy of being the savior than I. And the more Moshe Rabbeinu refuses, the more God wants him, because he sees the profound love and respect that Moshe Rabbeinu has for Klal Yisrael. And he would most probably tell him, Moshe, do you think I forgot? And do you think Klal Yisrael forgot that you were the first one to stand up for them? You were the first one to risk your life. You're the first one who killed an Egyptian who was hitting a fellow Jew. We haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten. Klal Yisrael hasn't forgotten. You're the one that's going to be Moshe Anshe Yisrael. So that Moshe has a great deal to say. What Moshe would be telling us is, and maybe that's turning into the theme of what I'm saying this evening, a profound respect for Amcha. I have a sneaky suspicion Amcha may be a great deal healthier than a significant part of its leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Roet Zon, and he's the one who says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm going to die. You can't leave Klal Yisrael Katzon Asher Ein Lehem Roeh, like sheep without a shepherd. I've said in Shurim, and I've said it in Shul often, I think that the most significant bracha in Shmona Esrei is Hashiva Shofteinu Kvarishona. We need leadership. We desperately need leadership that's powerful, that's strong, that can move a people. Otherwise, the leadership comes from Amcha. It's not coming from above. It's coming from us. Aaron. Ellen, for Aaron, she has 2 words, Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron remained silent. For 2 years, in this most recent war, and certainly for so many years, so many Jews have learned the Vayidom Aaron, to remain silent at the death of a son, a daughter, a parent. Unbelievable. The mourning and the bereavement and the suffering of these people. How many cases of 2 parents both being killed and a whole family left you so, it's unbelievable. and to remain silent and not to cry out against God takes a tremendous amount of strength. That's the strength of Aaron. We don't understand Chabad Shalom. We don't understand. It takes great strength to remain silent. But there's another idea here, and it may be just as important, and that's the one I referred to earlier. Why do we have to talk so much? Why every time Israeli soldiers go into a Palestinian city, we have to tell the whole world, oh, we're not there to stay, we're going out right away. And every time we went out, another pig go out. And we had to go back in again. Why does the world, why does Ben Eliezer have to tell the whole world, oh, we don't plan on hurting Arafat, we're going to send him chumas, freidnish, we're not going to exile him. Let the world be frightened. Let him be terrified. Let them all think we're in and we're going to stay there. We may have to stay there. What do you have to say? Shashtil. The number of voices that you can read and hear coming out every day, contradicting one another. From our leadership, it's unbelievable. Shashtil, genug gesagt. Enough. Enough. Be quiet. Why do we have to announce every one of our intentions to the world? Why does everybody have to come up with his plan of what he's going to give away? Who asked you? Who's talking to you? Who needs people in Chutz Laaretz attacking the state of Israel when we're in war? Jews! Leaders in the Jewish community! Shashtil! You have to remain silent. They don't understand. You'll get up in the morning and you'll read the paper and you're going to read about all the statements. Everybody's jockeying for power. Everybody's jockeying for power on the backs of Klal Yisrael. Everybody has to make all sorts of statements. Who needs your statements? We would terrify a whole world if we would finally fall silent. If somebody wants to talk to us, come talk to us. Yes, we talked about the microphone. It's pashut like, it's Pavlovian in nature. Just put a microphone and the saliva starts and the stugot come flowing out. Shashtil! David, last one, David. I have to say, I'm going to make sure that Ellen is going to listen to this tape. But here, to choose a pasuk from the works of David HaMelech, you know, he wrote a great deal. Every pasuk in Tehillim is powerful. Her choice was incredible. It was magnificent. But wait till she picks up the phone and calls me after she hears this. What does she quote from David HaMelech? Ki rotsu avodecha es avoneha v'safporo yechonenu. For your servants have cherished her stones and favor her dust. Ki rotsu avodecha, your servants cherished avoneha, her stones, Eretz Yisrael, and favor her dust. You have to learn the pasuk, you have to know this pasuk. And I'll tell you, I think I haven't checked this, I didn't have a chance to check it. It may be the only time that it appears in all of Shas. You know, I like to make these grandiose statements that you can't really check me out anyway. But I plan on checking it out myself, because this pasuk is just... What words did I use? Incredible? Incredible. I remember one place where the pasuk is quoted. On the very last Amud of Masechet Ketubot, The Gemara, the last few block in Masech Ketubot, the Gemara is talking about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and the extent to which Jews loved Eretz Yisrael. And there is a Rashi that is so magnificent. I remember hearing this 40 years ago, and I'm as excited today when I say it as the moment that I heard it. More excited! The Gemara says, Rav Gamda, it's a very simple Gemara, Rav Gamda have a meganda ba'afra dara. The Gemara is saying what the great rabbis did when they came to Eretz Yisrael. One of them would kiss the stones. Rav Gamda, a rabbi by the name of Gamda, it all sounds very poetic, have a meganda, he rolled ba'afra dara in the dust of the earth. The Pashit got down on the ground, you understand, and he rolled in the earth of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, because it says, Ki yivotsu avodecho esavoneho besaforo yichoneim. Ellen's pasuk. Dovid HaMelech's pasuk. Right, that's the whole Gemara. You got the Gemara? Alright? There's one Rashi on this whole Gemara. Last Amid the Masechet Ketubot, Rashi says, quote, Ki rotsu avodecho esavoneho besaforo yichoneinu. Something strange? All that Rashi has done, he has repeated the pasuk. He hasn't elucidated, he hasn't elaborated, he hasn't explained, he has not given us any insight. He just plain repeats the pasuk. So of course, the first thing you think about is, the printer made a mistake. So anybody who thinks the printer made a mistake is making the most tragic mistake of not understanding the brilliance of Rashi. I heard this 45 years ago. My memory isn't that good as of this morning. I met a few people this morning, I don't remember anybody. But this vort from 45 years ago. Rashi, and there are times when Rashi teaches us a great lesson, not by virtue of what he adds or elaborates on, but by virtue of what he subtracts and what he removes. If I would learn the Gemara as it is, it would seem Rav Gamda comes to Eretz Yisrael and he has to decide what's he going to do now. Oh, he remembers there's a pasuk that says that those who love Eretz Yisrael love its dust and its stones. Shene'emar, because it says in the pasuk, he's going to do what it says in the pasuk. Rashi deletes the word Shene'emar. Rav Gamda didn't do it because this is the right thing or what is expected of you. When David HaMelech is talking about the servant who loves Eretz Yisrael, he's talking about Rav Gamda. They love the stones and the dust of Eretz Yisrael. That's Rav Gamda. That's his personality. He's not doing it because he's made his journey to Eretz Yisrael and he's coming down from the El Al plain and there are a bunch of photographers there and he thinks maybe the nice, you know, it would look real good if he gets down on all fours. You understand, and he kisses the earth and all the flesh bulbs are going. That's not Rav Gamda. Rav Gamda's neshama was the neshama of one who loves Eretz Yisrael. Rashi simply deletes the word shenemar. Rav Gamda is not doing something because it says. Rav Gamda is doing it because he is the one who possesses a personality of such profound love of Eretz Yisrael. That's what David is saying to us tonight. Keep it up. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let a world frighten you. Continue to be strong as you have been. And therefore, Tichle Shona, let the year v'nisyonoteha, the nisyonos of Avram, let it all be over. Tochel Shona, let a new year begin. Viniseo, with her miracles. Came Yehi Ratzon.